Okay, let's bring those conversations to a close and you can continue them afterwards. Well, my name is Jill and my name means youthful. What a great meaning. And anybody who knows me, actually that's quite appropriate for me because I love working with young people. And I was called Jill because my mother didn't want to call me Jillian. She didn't want it shortened. And I do not like it being lengthened. Okay, so if anybody tries to do that, I will ignore them. But there is a reason behind looking at names tonight, because actually there's a lot in this passage about names. And I found it fascinating last week when Paul introduced the whole of this series about flowing in grace, looking at the life of Moses. He started off with Moses' name and the meaning of Moses' name, to be drawn out from. And as we kind of go into tonight's passage, we're going to look at several things. One is being called by name. The identity, as we see when God says who he is, and what happens when we pay attention when our name is called. And for those who weren't here last week, when we looked at Moses, we looked at how Moses had been protected by God, where he's saved from the death and destruction of all the Hebrew boys because he's put in the water and he's drawn out from the water by the princess. He then goes on to have a life in the palace, and as he's observing the Hebrew slaves working, he gets incensed and he kills one of the slave drivers. He then has to flee. And he ends up in the wilderness area where he meets seven daughters of a priest called Jethro. And he becomes part of that family. He becomes a shepherd in the wilderness. And then one day as he is preparing, as he's just out with the sheep looking after them, he notices something. And he steps aside to look at what it is. It's a bush that seems to be burning, but it isn't. And in the Message paraphrase, it says, "I can't believe this. What's going on here? I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why does it not burn up?" And literally, he has to step aside. He has to stop what he's doing, which is looking after the sheep. Step aside and go and see what is really happening. And it's that moment as he steps aside, when he's taken that decision to go and look, he hears the voice, "Moses, Moses." The name is said twice, not once. And when that name is said, his life changes. At that point, he bows down because he knows this is someone who he needs to bow to. It's reverence to something. He knows who God is. But I wonder what went through his mind as he heard that name, Moses, Moses. We all have a reaction when our names are called. That's why I asked you, how do you like having your name said? We have a reaction to our names. We have a reaction to the tone of voice. But I can't believe that God didn't say it in a tone of voice that wasn't loving and encouraging. It's an invitation because it said, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh and for you to bring the children out of Egypt." So when he stepped aside and he heard his name called, he had an invitation into something that he couldn't imagine. So the first part of this calling by name is that God invited Moses into his purpose. It's a prophetic purpose. It's a prophetic revelation because he's called to deliver the Israelites out of slavery. That prophetic revelation actually points to who Moses is, his original design. And if you look at Moses, you know he has a passion for injustice. He has a passion for the injustice of his people. And he's willing to step out and do something, even though it's wrong. He has a passion to do something for his people. He is willing to stand up. This is part of his original design. When he goes out into the wilderness, he learns how to survive in difficult circumstances. He grows in understanding about how to be led by God in that place. And while he's in the wilderness looking after the sheep, he learns how to shepherd. And what does that point to? It points to his original design. For he is called to speak up for his people. And there are always clues from our past that points into our prophetic purpose. Last week, when Paul was speaking, he talked about driving a car. And he talked about when you're driving a car, you look through the windscreen, you're looking forwards. You only look in the mirror here when you want to see what's coming from behind. But the windscreen is the bigger piece, looking forwards. And here, God is saying to Moses, look forwards. This is where you are going. This is who you are. This is what you have been called into. And I know what that's like too. Because in 2005, I was in Sri Lanka as a response to the tsunami. I was sitting in a garden one morning, early. I was in a passage of scripture, Proverbs 31. And I felt God say to me, this is for you. You are called to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. But I had no understanding what that calling meant. I wrote it down in my journal. And then in 2007, I was in Cambodia visiting a project called Hagar, which serves women and children who are abused. And when I came back, I was asked to go and speak up on their behalf. And those of you who know, I ended up at Open Doors for the persecuted church. People who suffer for their faith. And I was called to step in to that place of a passion that had always been in my heart, but I hadn't known it. And that passion went right back to my school days, when as a head of house, I was responsible for leading the NSPCC fundraising. Abused, speaking up for those abused. So all that Moses was doing was stepping in to his original design, his prophetic calling. And there's something here tonight, I think, for some of you. It says, so I will send you. And I wonder whether some of you are feeling that calling for where he wants to send you. And as we were praying before the service tonight, I really had a sense, I should have said gathering, I really had a sense that all of the students who are here tonight, we just need to pray for you. So can I ask you to stand, please? All the students. Yeah. Now they're finishing their term, they're going back. I had a feeling we have to pray for you tonight because we're going to send you, obviously, to wherever your homes are. But maybe God wants to say something to you in that sending. So if you are around one of these, can you just put your hands out towards them? And let me just pray for each of you. Lord, we want to thank you for bringing these people here to Bristol, to Christchurch, and for the service that they have done here while they have been here. Lord, as they finish their exams and as they go home, we just want to send them out in your spirit, to send them to their homes or to wherever you are sending them. Will you equip them for what lies ahead? And will you prepare their hearts? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. The second part of being called by name, God says, Moses, Moses, this is a real understanding of the outpouring of grace. He gives the invitation, come, or so go. This is about saying, I want you to go here. What's happened before you came isn't important. Your past is not important. Because at this moment in time, what's more important to me is where you're going, not where you've come from. God doesn't speak at that moment in time about the fact that he has killed a slave driver. He doesn't talk about his angry outbursts. He doesn't talk about the arrogance that he had in Pharaoh's household. He doesn't talk about hiding as a fugitive and not owning up to what he has done. No, this is a God of grace. Because all he does is to say, I'm sending you. I'm not looking at the past. This is where I want you to go. We see that same grace when Jesus says to Peter, Simon, Simon. When he says, even though he will deny Jesus, he will still be the rock on which the church is built. We see that same grace when Saul, the persecutor of believers, and Jesus says to him, Saul, Saul, you're going to take the message to the Gentiles. We receive that same invitation of grace when we accept Jesus. Our past is forgiven. Grace is bestowed and we step out into freedom. It's just like that two sides of the cross. The moment we accept Jesus, our sins are forgiven and we walk forwards in freedom. And I don't know whether we have anybody here tonight, but we were praying. If there's anyone here tonight who has not yet said yes to Jesus, we have a Heavenly Father who forgives and wants us to walk in freedom. So if you are here tonight, you do not yet know Jesus, step forwards and receive what he has to offer. But often our identity gets confused. So often when we're called into our purpose, we can have doubts. Because Moses says in verse 11, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out? Or in verse 13, he says, well, what did the people question and ask, what's your name? I expect everyone here has doubts. Doubts that you can't do what God is asking you to step into. I had doubts when I was asked to go and work at Open Doors, serving the persecuted church worldwide. I couldn't understand, as a new Christian, I've been a Christian for 4 years, how I could step into that place on the exec team and lead spiritually. When I was working with people who've been serving the persecuted church for 30 years, I had no idea how to stand in that place. Everybody who's appointed to Open Doors had a spouse who was a believer. I was the only person who didn't have a spouse as a believer. How could I step in and not have the support from someone else? Yet God provided it in a different way. I was thinking wrongly, and God corrected me. All through the 6 months before I started in Open Doors, God had been speaking to me from Joshua 1. I will give you every place where you set your feet. And then do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That kept coming. Yet did I believe it? Did I think I would have the courage that is said in that passage? But on my first board meeting, the opening passage led by the founder was that very passage. And I knew I had stepped in to where God wanted me to be. It was not about me. It was about God being with me. God leading and guiding me. And it's the same for Moses. When he asked that question, who am I to go and do this? He was asking the wrong question. Because God's reply was, I will be with you. Not only that I will be with you, but I will make this prophetic declaration. And this will be a sign. This will be the sign that I sent you. For when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on the mountain. Moses still had doubts. So when he asked, well, what's your name? If I go and speak to these people, but what's your name? And God says, I am who I am. You are to say, I am has sent me to you. By God saying that very clearly, he's saying, I am always with you. I am ever present. I will never leave or forsake you. I will guide you and lead you forwards. My name will be revered and feared. So when you have doubts, you are thinking in the wrong way, because you have a Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, who will be with you. And the last part I want to speak to is where we almost started. Moses stepped aside. He intentionally went to look to see what was happening with that bush. He paid attention to something that had caught his eye. A bush that appeared to be burning, but wasn't burning up. Maybe over his time in wandering in the wilderness, he had learned to slow down. He had begun to notice more things. Maybe he had more time to connect with God. We lead busy lives. Do we stop and pay attention? In paying attention, he encountered God. God was there in the everyday and ordinary things of his life. That thorn bush would have been an ordinary thing, yet he noticed something was different. And he said, I will turn aside and look at this sight. I will stop what I'm doing. I will leave the sheep and go over and look to see what's happening. And when he goes, God speaks. He hears his name, Moses, Moses. And he has an invitation to meet with God. God is there in the ordinary and everyday things of your lives. And he wants you to pay attention to them. I know I didn't pay attention when God first called me. I was on a beach in Cape Cod working as a student with a friend who was a Christian. And one evening we were just sitting on the beach, beautiful sunset, and I sensed this presence. But I didn't say anything to her. That was 30 years before I came to know Jesus. I missed that encounter. But I didn't miss the next one. But in doing so, I had to be broken. I think the first one would be more pleasant overall. Paying attention can mean others can also encounter God through you. And a number of years ago, as part of a corporate organization I was working for, we were having a major celebration, city celebration, and we had Prince Charles attending. So security was pretty high that night. I was there in an official capacity. And the person I was speaking to collapsed by my feet. And at that point, I just went into, okay, I need to do something about this. And I did all the correct medical things. I'm not trained, but I know roughly what to do. But the key thing was to clear the area. But because the Prince Charles was there, the security went mad. They literally cleared the area for me. No one thought to get some medics. I had to ask for that one. And I stayed with this girl who was down on the ground and another member from the corporate as well. And we just stayed with her and just looked after her until the ambulance came. We had no idea what was going on. But two things happened. Firstly, the man who stayed with me, he said to me, "How did you know what to do?" There's no answer to that one. You just do what you have to do. But it bothered him. And we were very late going in. He still wanted to keep asking questions. "Jill, how did you know what to do?" So I just said, "I was trusting God." I had no idea what to do. It so bothered him, he rang me the next day. Again to say, "Jill, how did you know?" You imagine where this went, can't you? It's a perfect opportunity to actually talk about Jesus. And a change came for him in his life. But the significant thing was the girl who collapsed, the woman who collapsed. That next day, I rang to find out how she was. She was fine. She'd been dehydrated. And she just said to me, "Something happened when I was down on the ground. Can I tell you about it?" And I said, "Yes." And she told me about the loss of a child. And while she was on the ground, she saw this child happy and free. It was like God was showing her and a sense of peace. She said, "I haven't felt peace like that before for my daughter." And then over the next few weeks, we kept meeting because she needed to talk that through. By turning aside and doing something that perhaps I wasn't gifted for at that time, those two people encountered God. That same thing can happen to you as well. By turning aside and seeing what needs are the people around you, or responding to things on an everyday basis, not only may you encounter God, but other people will encounter God too. They will encounter God through you. So where are we? There's a lot in this passage, but I want to create some space now for time to respond to this. And I'm going to ask the band to come back so that we can have some music playing. But my sense has been, as I have been preparing for this, there may be people here who have heard words, prophetic words spoken, have doubted them, have not been sure about them, but maybe tonight God is waking you up to those words, and this is the time to step into them, to say, "Yes, I am willing to go." Maybe there are some here who have heard their name, said yes to Jesus, but have actually not let the past go, do not believe they're forgiven. And tonight, God wants to break those chains. Maybe there are some who, where whatever situation you are in, find it hard to understand that God is with you. It's okay to have those doubts. But God wants to correct them as well, and he is with you. So maybe we'll have some response to that. And maybe there's something about paying attention in the everyday that you would love just to be more aware of what God is doing around you and in you. So let's stand and let me lead into a time of worship and ministry.